Well, this ministry year, we've been looking at the victory that we can have in Christ, and this is a theme that must not get old, because it is a daily need to draw upon the truth of God's Word. But there is an enemy that does not want us to live in victory, and he has many tools at his disposal. And we, of course, have our flesh that is attuned to those devices, as the Bible calls them, but we're not ignorant of those. We ought not be. And he uses the world and many things in it to defeat us and take our feet out from under us spiritually. We talked a little bit about how he works this morning. And here in the evening, I've been looking at cultural traps that Satan does set for us. And I'm going to talk about a trap that most everybody doesn't want me to talk about. I was challenged by one of our young staff members, why don't you talk about the cultural trap of sports? Whoa. Perfect time. I mean, I am preaching to the choir. You are here, okay? So it was really tempting to preach this morning, to be honest with you, but that would have been interesting and maybe a bit tense. But you are here, and so that's good. You certainly have put priorities first, and I commend you for that. But I want to just take a few minutes. We have the Lord's table tonight, and I really want us to focus on that. But let me just give you some perspectives that I trust can help you. Now, let me say first of all that God wants us to be able to, he made us to be able to do physical things, and the competitive aspects that are in us are not necessarily wrong. And the matter of exercise and keeping in condition, all of these things are very much, if in proper proportion, good and healthy, literally healthy. And then even the matter of sports. The Apostle Paul was very aware of sports. And I'm not going to read the passages, but 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, talking about keeping our body under, he uses two examples, and that was racing and boxing. And so he was very aware of those sports at that time. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 tells us that we are not wrestling with human beings, but we're wrestling with spiritual powers, and wrestling was quite a sport, and one that's a lot rougher than what we call wrestling today, unless you talk about the ridiculous pro stuff. But anyway, that's more like what they were doing. Then there was 2 Timothy 2, verse 5, speaking of the matter of discipleship. And one of the examples he gives, and I just used that on Wednesday night here, the Olympics and the events of the Olympics. So he was very aware of the Hellenistic games that were done in Greece. And then Paul, the anonymous writer of Hebrews, in chapter 12, you may catch that, but I did that for Dr. Paul's sake, but he wasn't listening out there. All right. You have there the idea of running a race, those in the stands observing and so forth. So we would make a great mistake to be negative about sports itself and organized sports and obviously the involvement in sports. But like any good thing, Satan takes it out of proportion. And he wants us to enjoy what God has given to us in a way that is not appropriate, that becomes many times an idol in our lives and distracts us from a genuine spiritual walk with God. And so I'm going to be looking at the propensity, especially with the just immediate use of technology, the propensity for addiction in this area, and if nothing else, loss of time that is important. A soft addiction is a seemingly harmless habit, like watching too much TV, overshopping, excessively listening to music, overeating, or surfing the internet for long periods of time. But when really seen, it's excessive in the time that it takes, the money that is used, and the energy that is involved. It numbs a person from their feelings and mutes their consciousness. And so we are realizing that there are many addictions in modern society to cope with the issues of life that we are facing. Now, I'm not going to get into the actual sports involvement. There are some tremendous articles about how you can become addicted to exercise in an inordinate way. I mean, the release of dopamine when you're running and outside, and I mean, it's a way for a lot of people to escape. And of course, it's a great thing to run. I ran for years until it wasn't wise to do so all the time. I still do some, and still exercise on elliptical and so forth. But or sports can just become an obsession to be the best and to do everything you can to achieve. And there are many, many different factors. Karin Jongsma, I think is the way the name is a bioethicist at the University Medical Center in Germany. And she makes a strong case for the fact that sports addictions are as strong as drug addictions. So that's a whole issue in itself. I don't think too many of us are in that category. As I look around here, I think we probably need a little more addiction than we have, okay? So, but there can be some, and you do have to take note of that. What I'm talking about and what you thought of when I brought up the subject is the matter of viewing sports, the vicarious involvement in sports. Psychology Today had an article recently, gives this illustration. My husband just told me that he is addicted to sports. Not playing them, but watching them. Football in its season, baseball in its season, basketball and so on. He said tonight that he is happy when his team wins, sad when they lose, and depressed when they blow it. He is guilty whenever he is watching it because he knows I don't like him to watch sports. And a lot of relationship problems. They joke about it a lot, but it is a reality. Can you really be hooked to Sunday football? Is part of this article. Why are we hooked? Fancy. A bit of pigskin. For some people, watching football can become an obsession. University of Alabama psychologist Josh Klapau told the college's website, UAB News, which noted that a football addiction can endanger relationships and wreak havoc on the life of a super fan. Health Day had some lengthy work on this, but they said the following behaviors may signal that a fan is losing a grip on reality and becoming addicted. Now, here's a test. Thinking about football while doing other things. Becoming irritated when a game is interrupted. Missing important family or other events to watch a game. Becoming depressed, angry, or violent when a certain team loses. Be honest. All right, he concluded that someone who is demonstrating these types of behaviors should seek help for their addiction before it damages their relationships with people they care about. As with any other addiction, people who observe these behaviors in someone, he noted, should not be afraid to speak up about the problem. Sounds like the same advice you give to drug users and the people that are around them. Ultimately, this is a habit that needs to change, and moving forward means changing your behavior a little bit at a time. WebMD says, also, sports provides an opportunity, and here's where I want you to really listen, to succeed vicariously on the big stage of sports. You may not be able to throw the game-winning touchdown pass or hit a game-winning home run yourself, Juan notes, but you can identify with those who do. Now, here's the real key. Kevin Quirk agrees, but while writing, and there's his book, Not Now, Honey, I'm Watching the Game, a book about obsessed sports fans, he identifies another reason. Following sports is also a nice way to hide from feelings we don't want to confront about our own lives. Our job, relationships, financial problems, when we tune into games and discuss our team with others, that's all the time we have, so we don't have to spend on those problems in our lives that are mundane, difficult, hard to change. Unfortunately, sports can work as a convenient hiding place. And then it goes on to talk about the avoidance of pain. Now, this would fit right into RU. The need to hide from painful feelings is a familiar aspect of addiction, according to Candace Pert, author of Molecules of Emotion. In her book, she explains how certain chemicals, when they act on the brain, produce pleasurable feelings. While it may sound funny, a bit funny and harmless to some, there are plenty of families going through just such scenarios every day, and they're not laughing. Sports addiction can wreak havoc on lives just like any other addiction. Whether it's fantasy football, real football, soccer, hockey, baseball, or curling, addicts can be found in living rooms all over the world. Now, I think we all can understand that. Maybe you have family, or you found yourself being pulled that way. But we as believers have got to understand there can be nothing in our life that we run to medicate our needs, or to first and foremost find pleasure, rather than to God and to the things that God has given to us in proper order. Anytime we regularly seek out something to escape from the pressures that we have, that will become an addiction. And it can be a number of what we call soft addictions. And so we need to be very much aware of that. And sports is a major escape from the reality of life, so viewing sports. Now, again, I want to say it's not wrong to watch games. I mean, I endeavor to watch as many ball games here as I can. I didn't miss, I don't think, hardly any of my children's games. I enjoyed all of that. And I am interested in you know, certain things. When the Cubs rose from their pathetic state, and I, you know, was in Chicago for a period of time and suffered through all those years with them, I was interested, I have to admit it. Dr. Jim was really interested. Now, he was closer to addiction than I am. Those evangelists, I mean, they have to watch it. They really go all out, you know, and so he was all about it, and I'd get a text here or there about the Cubs. My problem is I hear about all the stuff that's going on in the front office and all the money and all this stuff. And, you know, and if you listen to any sports at all, it just sort of turns you off pretty quickly. But, you know, I got to admit, in Peru, in Lima, after I finished preaching on the seventh game of the World Series with Cleveland, we didn't have a good connection, but we did our best to hear the final part of that game. And I went to bed late, I confess. Okay. So, and I was happy that they actually didn't do what I thought they were going to do when the Cleveland caught up. And I thought, here they are. They are proving themselves to be the adorable Cubbies again, you know, deplorable. And anyway, they actually won. I don't know what happened. But so it is interesting and so forth. But by the competitive nature of it and the escape value of it, folks, it really can become an obsession. And we as believers need to realize that that can be a cultural trap to take us away from the priorities of our life. So let me just suggest a few things here and we'll be done. We need to ask ourselves some questions that we should ask ourselves about a lot of things in our life. Does it control me or can I control it? That's a biblical perspective. 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, I commend you tonight on Super Bowl evening with all of the hype and pressure and all the family events and everything else that is there that you made the choice to be with God's people tonight. You went against it and God enabled you to have power over it. And that is a very good thing. Frankly, I do think the Super Bowl itself is such an event that I'm not sure Christians should imbibe much in it. And some of these things we're going to talk about, even if it was on a different day, I don't think I would watch it. I mean, even some of the controversy surrounding it, that's not where I'm at. And I think some of these principles will help us with it. But can we really control it? Can we just show a mild interest? I remember several years ago, I can't remember who introduced me to a sports app that was on my phone, and I found myself checking it. And then looking at a few things that were there, and I realized, I'm doing this every day. That's going. And I remember just zap, off it went, and I said, I'm not putting that back on. because I just don't have the time to do that. Did you know a team's going to win whether you listen or not? Have you ever heard that? It doesn't matter how loud you cheer, they're still going to win or lose. You know, this year you cheered hard for the Packers. Well, anyway, you know, I feel a little better because I was from Chicago, but I tell you, years before, you cheered a lot and they won, but it didn't have a thing to do with your cheering. And so we need to ask ourselves, are we really in control of this? Are we making right priority choices, just like everything else in our life? Does it edify? 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. They don't build up. You know, it was several years ago, and on New Year's Day, and Badgers football team was right up there, and in one of the bowl games, I think it may have been the Rose Bowl. And so some of us were able to get together over, I believe, at my aunt's place and in their little room that they have there, and we watched some of the game. The Badgers lost. That was a bad thing. But as I'm sitting there, I haven't watched much television. And the stuff that I saw and had to walk out on and constantly realizing even the conversation and so forth, and then I just lost 2.5 hours of my life. And they lost anyway. Might have felt a little differently if they had won, I suppose. But it just is something we have to ask ourselves. Is it really worth the time? And that's a good question from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We have a race, and that's one of the verses I referred to where he uses the illustration of sports. But we have a race to run for the Lord, and we don't want anything that's going to hold us back from accomplishing all that God wants us to accomplish. And I would submit to you that there are spiritual times of getting together with God's people, going out doing things for God, that could have been done, but sports has held people back. In fact, that happens all the time. And it can just be a mental thing that instead of meditating on the Lord, it can become a bit of an obsession with us. Time with family is lost. There's just an aura that is not spiritual. There's a loss of personal time for being with the Lord and for edification. There just are key opportunities to grow and serve that we miss because of that. And then we always have to ask ourselves, does anything I do cause me to love the world? The Bible is very clear about that. In 1 John 2:15, we often quote these, love not the world, the cosmos, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, even the great championship seasons are forgotten after a few years. But souls are either in heaven or hell. You do have to, and again, I don't want to overstate this, because there's a place, and there is some aspect that is not bad. But I'm talking about it actually deterring us from being what we ought to be. And one of the problems I would have with the Super Bowl tonight is obviously the amount of work that has gone into the commercials. And Christians can say, well, we always turn the commercials off. They don't do it on Super Bowl night because there's this big contest which one is deemed the best. And I'm telling you, everything that the world has to offer, every aspect of what I just read about is in those commercials. And so there's just the whole world's perspective and the pride of life. There are just things that are not healthy, and we have to be very careful. Again, I think in any viewing of sports, some people, what they do is they'll take and X out everything and just have the essence of the game that they might watch. That'd be a whole lot better way to watch it than to have to wade through all of that. And folks, God is not pleased when we see things that we ought not see and imbibe in things that hurt our spiritual life. That is a big deal. And remember, the friend of the world is an enemy of Christ, as we talked about today. We have to look at the content. Let me just quickly go over this. We admire and idolize openly wicked people. Now, obviously, there's other aspects of life in which that can occur also. But I think most of us here know that it would be really not so good to have up movie stars or rock stars in our bedrooms, you know, and idolize them. We all understand that. But the lifestyle of most of these sports celebrities is not a whole lot different. And what they talk about, I mean, today, some of the stars that are part of this game today have lives that are anything but what we want our children to emulate. And so we need to be very careful about that. The talk of the announcers is more and more coarse with innuendos and leftist. That's just a whole nother thing. And the Bible says, we're not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain, and let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. The one thing that I just will not do, or hardly at all, unless I stumble across it, is listen to sports talk. Sports talk is crude, and it's frankly, and I don't want to overstate myself, but it's a lot of times babble about nothing. You know, they continue to talk about the same thing over and over. Is that really the best use of our listening time in the car or whatever we do? I think we have to ask ourselves that. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. One thing we forget about with any kind of technology viewing is the music. Why do you think the young generation struggles so much with even music in the church? It's because parents have, even with good convictions, have somehow seen watching games and those types of things as neutral and do not realize that they are surrounded by, coming in and out of the games, all throughout. Anytime there's replays and different things, you've got music that you would not allow normally in your home. And, of course, that's very much true with any programming that you would see. And the Bible makes it clear in Colossians 3:16, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's the kind of music that should dominate. And that may not be something that you think about, but that's one problem, frankly, with any entertainment on television or whatever. It is a problem. And I do want to encourage you to think about that. If someone were to walk into your home and a game was on, but they didn't know what you were doing, what would they think you were listening to? Unless it's right at the heat of everybody screaming. A lot of times it would be music or the commercials, and it would sound like it was something that's not appropriate for a believer. Is there a biblical worldview? Is there even a pro-America worldview? I won't get off on that. I will move on. Does it portray immodesty and any aspect of sexual innuendos? It's amazing, because it's sports, what we will pass over and say it's not a big deal. I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. And Psalm says, and I think that is so important for us be aware of. You know, even perversion is upheld. And some of the talk that goes on, even on major games, is about things that God calls an abomination. Does it have the wrong philosophy of life? And I'm amazed in these last, 4, 5, 6 years, how, from what I've been hearing, I haven't watched hardly any sports, but how politicized and how the philosophy has been extremely anti-biblical and very left-leaning and socialistic and so forth. And we don't need to have that put into our minds. And so, are we going to be a stumbling block to our children? Are we going to be a stumbling block to the people? Are we going to build them up through this? Or is this going to be a bad testimony? Is it to the glory of God? 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the what? The glory of God. My father said this to me early on, but he said, you ought to be able to sit down and know the Christ to be very comfortable with you in anything you do. And you ought to be able to get up from anything you're doing and be a better Christian than you were before you did it. Well, that eliminates a lot of stuff we do. Is it the proper use of time, redeeming the time? That's such a big one. James 4:15 says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Does it please the Lord? And this is such a big one. Does it quench the spirit? And many times in the viewing of the sports, it does. You know, it's sad. Baseball, when I was a kid, is a whole lot different than baseball today. I tell you, it was fun going to Wrigley Field decades ago. All they had was the organ, and even the organ was pretty decent. And, I mean, it was boring by today's standards, but, you know, we enjoyed the ball game. And in fact, it's really amazing. You look back, for instance, video clips of the New York Yankee or Boston Red Sox fans. I had to throw that in for you, Brother Crowley. And they're all in top hats, you know, suits and ties, and man, there's no Amada. It was a different world. That's all there is to it. But even then, the obsession could be there, I am sure, with radio and then TV coming in. Does it quench the spirit? And so we don't want ourselves to become callous to the things of this world. Our consciences need to stay tender. Most of my life, I have not had a TV in front of me. And I'm telling you, it is a great help in that regard. The thing I have had to battle is radio. Radio is a great medium, and we use it. But talk radio, really had to rein that one in. Like I said, sports radio, just to kill that. And then ball games. And even all of that, it's amazing how you can even get hooked from a radio standpoint. But we want our consciences not to be calloused. We don't want to have a coldness in our hearts. We don't want to be condoning that which is evil. We don't want to meditate on wrong things. We want to be spiritual people. But you say, Pastor, you know, do we just have to give up everything? No, that's not what I'm talking about. Hope I've been real enough with you. I will be interested to find out who wins the Super Bowl. Okay, and that'll be interesting. And I will, but I'm not going to watch it tonight. And I'm going to be interested if the Bears can do better next year. But the only problem is, those happen on Sunday. That's a problem. You know, we didn't do things on Sunday. And, you know, I'm going to have to, you know, I'm interested in college sports. And very interesting. I have been at Clemson and used to do extension there. So I was interested to see Clemson beat Alabama. I know some of these things. I don't think I could have told you the top 10 at the end. It was Clemson, Alabama second. Anyway, whatever. And I could give you at least probably 5 of the 10 because I like to be conversant in these things. And sports, enjoying them. I love to play ball and just get involved. I enjoy watching our young people here play sports. But folks, we have just a few short years to serve the Lord. And you're going to have to make your own personal decisions. You made a decision tonight. God bless you for that. And if there is a little pricking, we're not talking about, listen, the Spirit of God gives liberty. If there's a pricking and the Lord says, you know, there's something better use of your time, I'll guarantee you, if you'll follow the Lord, you're going to enjoy that next hour a whole lot better. He might let you enjoy a game. That's fine. I'm not saying that's wrong. I don't say it's wrong to go to a ball game. Now, I've had trouble going under the Miller sign, I'll be honest with you, at the Miller Park, but I have not judged anybody for doing that. I am so thankful it's coming down in what, a year or so. Another name's going to be, I doubt if I'll go, but it'll be a little easier to go there, but I'm not sure I want to be around all that. See, those are just decisions that you've got to make in your life. And because we need to nurture our hearts. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to be having the table of the Lord. Table of the Lord has not been what it used to be in previous generations because we are very cluttered in our minds. It's a time in which what Christ has done for us should become so real and vivid. And we're able to meditate and think on spiritual things. Now, I did not give the challenge. I took some time this morning about the Seeking God challenge. But now I'm going to give it just again. Folks, not a lot of American believers are really willing to put aside the normal American way and say, I really want the Lord. I want to see him glorified. You see, the problem is we sometimes, in putting away things and a message like this is seen as do's and don'ts, it's seen as, well, I got to do this and duty. Listen, if you have a human constraint because I preach this and you feel the human pressure, that's totally wrong. This is between you and the Lord. But I'm just trying to help you because I believe some very strong biblical principles were given. And did you know that when the Lord is the passion of your life and you are searching for him with all of your heart, the closer you get to him, the more the world is obvious. The more you taste and see that he is good, these other things that raise your dopamine level are false and you see artificial. God gives us freely all things to enjoy. There's a lot of things we can enjoy. Sports and all these things are fine, but the world has corrupted them, and we have to see our way through that. And we need to get so in his presence that it's not hard to make those decisions. I don't need that. I don't need that. Now I need to do something that's more important. By the way, family time is not sitting down for 2.5 hours and watching a game. Family time is communication. Family time is real interaction. Now, sometimes you can watch. Sometimes you can be at a ball game. Those things are fine. But we have to really determine what is the most important part of our life. Folks, would you pray about joining me in a very serious searching for the presence of God starting next Sunday? Obviously, this week we should be doing it too. But for 3 weeks, we'll be asking you to make the commitment to have that lengthy time in the morning, the hour concept with God, for 3 weeks solid, three every day, and to put aside just anything that's non-essential with technology. Give yourself to reading, give yourself to Bible reading, give yourself to some fasting and prayer, communication about the things of the Lord, extra time and giving out the gospel. Folks, I believe if there are enough people in this church that will draw nigh to God, we will know his presence. And we cannot take the title that God gave us and the theme for this conference lightly. He gave it to us, and it's the Manifest Presence Conference, and God means to show up. But we've got to seek for him. We've got to draw nigh to him. Now, again, it's always when you make a commitment, there can always be the artificial human aspect. That's why I'm giving you a whole week. I just want you to think and pray about it. And I want you to have a heart's desire that, now, Lord, I've got 3 weeks here that I'm going to think differently. I'm going to rearrange my life. I'm not going to escape into this or escape into that. I really am going to seek your face. I'm going to spend that time in the morning with you, and I am not going to find myself going off to the typical things that I do to just cope with life. I am going to just very genuinely seek your face during that time. And I trust you'll take that challenge. In fact, in just a few minutes when we start the table of the Lord and we do pray, would you pray with me that God will work in all of our hearts to really seek him? We've already had a couple of really good prayer meetings about that, and I believe we as a corporate body ought to pray for one another. I really do seek the Lord all my heart. The Lord's been dealing with all of your heart. I want every part of you. And this is very serious for me. And this is a serious challenge. But folks, the days are serious. And God is precious. And he has been so good to us. And so I just want to encourage you to let the grace of God lift your heart and make a decision that for times with him that will counteract the flesh, in which you can be free to really walk with him. Let's bow for prayer. As we bow before the Lord here this evening, I've dealt with viewing sports, but honestly, you can put all those other soft addiction things in there that we all have to struggle with. And you'd say, Pastor, I really do want to love the Lord with all my heart, and I find myself with the modern coping. I know what you're talking about. It may not be viewing sports. It may be doing other things. But your heart's desire is that you want the Spirit of God to take control and to learn what it means to really be in the presence of God. And you'd say, Pastor, pray for me. I am seeking wisdom to not feel the human constraint, but to have the leadership of the Spirit so that I can have a life that is truly where God wants it to be. And my heart is yearning for that. And God's dealt with me. He's exposed some things that I need to specifically deal with. Maybe there's some things that need to go, some priorities that need to change. I don't know how God may have worked in your heart, but you'd say, Pastor, pray for me. I do definitely want to see victory in those areas and to seek the Lord with my heart. Would you pray for me? With heads bowed, would you slip your hand up if God has worked in your heart that way? God bless you. That's wonderful to see that. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Anyone else? I need to raise mine. Yes. God bless you. Amen. I'm burdened, and the Lord really showed me some things here tonight. Maybe you're here without the Lord. That's where it starts, my friend. You don't earn salvation. And you'd say, Pastor, if I were to die, I'm not certain I'm on my way to heaven. Would you pray for me? We don't want to miss you tonight. If God's working in your heart, we want to pray for you. Is there anyone like that? Just slip your hand up so we can see it, then put it back down. I need the Lord tonight. Lord, would you take what has been given? And Lord, our flesh wants the freedom to do what it wants to do. And Lord, we should never do anything out of human constraint, but we do need to follow you, and we need to follow your word. And Lord, would you give that liberty that comes only when the Spirit of God is in full control? Many here raised the hand, realizing that there are areas that are drawing them away, or things that are coping mechanisms. Lord, I don't know what they are, but Lord, would you give wisdom and then clear courage to make the right decisions? And Lord, would there just be some steps that are taken that would be a great blessing? And Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.